We'll have to see if Molly Beck. If Molly, have you seen this movie yet? Molly Beck with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
I have not seen it.
Are you going to go this weekend?
I'll be covering a rally that the president's holding in Wisconsin. You might have heard of it.
Wow!
So
no.
I'll be busy.
Are you sure you can't call in sick for that? I mean, seriously.
I cannot.
I mean, it's have you seen Hemsworth? He's an attractive man. The whole package there is just. I'll tell you what. I'll message you how good it is while you're watching
all right.
Trump.
Sounds like a deal.
Be careful, by the way, and I'm going to just say this. I have friends who are journalists that have covered this stuff. Be careful out there. All right, some of these crowd guys are not too happy with journalists.
Well, actually, funny story, the first rally, Trump rally that I covered, I actually got pepper spray on me. So I don't think it can get much worse than that. I've covered a few rallies. They're okay.
All right. Molly Beck, of course, is our expert in Wisconsin politics. She's also, when we have things going on in Wisconsin, we talk to Molly here. Once again, you can find her writing over at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She is quite good. But she has been with us. We have had a recurring story topic here called Foxconn. Now, Molly, to remind everyone here, this was a deal done by Scott Walker when he was governor, which, you know, if it came to fruition as it was described, that it, you know, eventually in 2042, the state would start seeing benefits from this, but it required a massive infusion of Wisconsin taxpayer cash to make it happen with Foxconn.
Right. So there is, you know, about $3 billion that the company is eligible to receive over the course of that contract. But right now we have a lot of questions about what actually the plans will look like when they actually get the manufacturing facility they're planning up and running. Initially, it was supposed to bring about 13,000 jobs to the state, and in recent weeks, the governor of Wisconsin has said he doesn't believe that number is going to happen, and he wants to rewrite the contract, basically, with Foxconn. And Foxconn, he also said Foxconn has initiated those discussions. So we're not getting many more details beyond that. So we know things are changing. We don't know how. Right now.
Now, and I want to make sure you and I, when we first started talking about this, we brought up three specific non-political things which really kind of didn't seem to add up. One was technology, that a commitment of this level in this day and age, when you think of how much technology has changed, to think that the same technology is going to be in use in 20-some years, you know, and there were no guarantees of continual factory upgrade necessarily. It was just kind of a, you know, they're going to set this up. I mean, you would presume so, but we brought up the technology issue. We brought up the fact that Foxconn multiple times in the past has basically gotten into deals with states and not come back and delivered as promised. And we talked about the fact that just, you know, it was incredibly pie in the sky, especially the hiring numbers, especially when you're looking at where they were located at. There was a pretty decent chance you were going to get quite a few employees from Illinois. And for this whole plan to work and get paid back as a state, everyone had to basically be a Wisconsin employee, and it just didn't seem like that was even feasibly going to happen. We also have seen, you know, since then, other issues such as, you know, whether contractors are part of that, you know, and people that are working actually in other states, are they considered part of the employment numbers in Wisconsin? There were some very legitimate questions on whether this was a realistic deal that has nothing to do with any politics.
So, and that's why, you know, I think you've seen a lot of polling that has been very mixed on this project, because it's not breaking down on party lines. It's more regional lines, I would say. There's a lot of support in southeastern Wisconsin. That's where the planned plant will be. But in other parts of the state, you had a lot of skepticism of, you know, will this really benefit? You know, I'm going to be paying for this project to happen, but I don't know that I'm going to get the benefits from it. When former Governor Scott Walker, who helped broker that deal, was running for re-election, he had a number of advertisements that were basically just trying to explain the Foxconn project and the contract, and say that, you know, if they don't create these jobs, they're not going to get any money. You know, there's all sorts of companies all over the state that are going to be doing work to make this project happen, so it's going to benefit your area that way. But since then, the Foxconn has, you know, scaled back or changed the project. Initially, it was going to be what's known as a Generation 10.5 facility, and that would have manufactured large LCD panels. And now they are planning to build a Generation 6 facility, which creates smaller panels. I'm not really sure what the difference in expected job numbers are for those two facilities. The business reporter who's also been following this at my paper has said it doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be fewer jobs just because they're making smaller LCD panels. But, you know, I think seeing, you know, the Foxconn issue did not help, you know, Scott Walker win re-election, and he, you know, often had to explain it and kind of defend that deal. So you're right. Like, this issue doesn't, you know, affect people along political lines.
Well, and it's interesting because the conservatives have always been successful with tax cuts policy and you know, corporate investment policy. And in that last election cycle, there was really the pushback, because after another tax break where the taxes were heavily on the towards the wealthier side than the middle and lower class, and with this and it was a pretty obscene dollar amount of Wisconsin tax dollar investment. It seems like we've discovered the break point. You know what I mean? It seems like it's like, yeah, you get past this number, you know, maybe $2 billion, they would have been okay with it. But you get up there and there's a lot of promises and maybes and wishes. And that's where it starts to sour on the people. Wasn't there some leadership changes at Foxconn that also might be playing a factor in where things are going right now, correct?
Well, that's what we're trying to find out. I think there's a lot of questions about that. You know, if you talk to the company, they're saying, you know, nothing's really going to change. The chairman and CEO of Foxconn, Terry Goh, is running for president of Taiwan. And because of that, he's, you know, taking a step back from, you know, his day-to-day duties, but he's not leaving the company. His company's massive, so it's not like if one person leaves, the whole thing falls apart. So... but there are questions about that, because this, you know, Terry Goh is very invested in this project. He has, you know, has a personal guarantee on some of this, and it's not just related to his chairmanship. I mean, he's personally, responsible for paying, the state some money if it doesn't happen. And he's also, you know, his first wife died of cancer, and there's a partnership with the university here for a cancer research facility. And so there's, you know, he's got some ties to this project. So I think that's why we're asking, you know, if he's taking a step back, you know, what does that mean for the project? Because it seemed to be important to him personally.
I will say this, as watching what happened when Steinhoffel took over Target. You can't. One of the things I will say is I was at, you know, they almost lost Target because Steinhoffel was so bad. You know, he went and tried to expand into Canada. That was an incredible disaster. It was more important for him. He put his first job as a CEO of Target was to put his name on a distribution center in India. And so it's like one of those things, like, okay, who is this guy? And I mean, this guy, you know, Steinhoffel almost broke Target to a point of it was not going to get fixed. So, you know, you can understand that there, you generally want to, you know, swim in one direction, but, you know, leadership changes are, you know, especially in large corporate worlds, you know, that, you know, remains to be seen. I think sometimes, I mean, if they got the promises there, that's, the one thing, but I also would say this, if he's going to become the president of Taiwan and he's making all these monetary things there, I don't know if that really, if there's a value for him to keep following through, because obviously his main concern would be the people of Taiwan.
And those questions are why we're asking questions, yeah. You know, because like you said, it's, you know, there could be some political implications for him, but, you know, when we ask the company, they have said, you know, this isn't going to change anything. We are committed to this project. We're committing to 13,000 jobs. You know, we want to work with state leaders here on the contract and making changes to it that benefits both sides. So that's what we're hearing. But, you know, we're still asking questions too.
The initially, once Tony Evers took over as governor, there was a lot of insistence from the Republicans that if the Foxconn deal and the implication they were making was if it doesn't turn into this, you know, Valley of Roses we've said it's going to be, it's all on Tony Evers. But as you kind of pointed out at the very beginning here, it sounds like some of this, you know, renegotiating of the deal is, or at least most of it, is actually occurring from the Foxconn side.
Yeah, right. So when the governor first made those remarks about he didn't believe the jobs or the job numbers were going to be what were originally planned, and he wanted to change some of the terms of the contract, the Republican leaders of the legislature said that, you know, Governor Evers is undermining the deal and he shouldn't be single-handedly opening this contract. To clarify that, I think he released a letter that he was sending to the special assistant to Terry Goh. So he's kind of, in my mind, and I might be wrong about this, but in my mind, he's the number two person at Foxconn,
mm-hmm.
Or somebody very close to that level. He sent a letter to him saying, you know, we just want to reiterate, you reached out to us about changes. And Foxconn did not dispute that publicly, so it makes, you know, what we're taking from that is we believe that Foxconn is the one that initiated changes. We just don't know what those changes are.
How are the Republicans feeling about this? Because obviously, I mean, they felt, and I still imagine they still do feel, this was a major win for them. And the fact that regardless of, you know, who is the renegotiator, there's got to be some level of concern within the Republicans that their deal, which they're convinced was a good deal, might not come through and might get changed dramatically.
I think that's their position. Their position is the current deal is, you know, a good deal, and that if they don't create certain number of jobs every year, they don't get any credits, and they like that deal. There was one comment that Governor Evers made recently that suggested to me that maybe one of the changes they are considering is changing or lowering the number of jobs that Foxconn has to create every year to get tax credits, because the first year, last year, they were supposed to create 260 jobs to get any of the tax credits they're eligible for, and they missed that mark. So it's possible they're not on pace to hit those benchmarks in order to get any tax credits.
Well, you and I talked last time, there was some question on whether or not Foxconn was listing, was it payroll people in a different state as part of the Wisconsin mm-hmm. payroll? And you had actually said they're not quite sure if the deal that they made with Scott Walker allowed for that. Did you ever get a clarification on whether that was allowed or was Foxconn breaking the rules?
So I don't believe there's been any evidence that they're, you know, they're counting people in Taiwan or China as Wisconsin workers. The question was whether they could count people working elsewhere in as part of this project because they were working in support of this project, even if they weren't in Wisconsin. I believe the law, one of the changes that were passed during that lame duck legislative session in December, and I believe what they did is they said it's okay to count people that aren't necessarily living in Wisconsin. But my understanding is that it's like one person, or at least that's what Republican leaders explained to me, that it's just one person who might be living in South Dakota for some reason. So I'm not really sure. That is a good question. I will follow up on that.
Well, it reminds me of like when you hear about these jobs up at the Iron Range in northern Minnesota, and they talk about jobs, jobs, jobs. One of the things that always happens that's going on in the background is they're looking for a federal waiver so that they can basically ship mm-hmm. up a bunch of guys, non-union guys from Oklahoma, to work in the mines and get around the union rules up there. I mean, so it's you know, there's always a way that, you know, and some companies will always try to find the way to do it the cheapest possible. And so it doesn't surprise me on that case. It does surprise me, I guess, a little bit. I know the Republicans really want this deal, but you know, hopefully they did put some limits on the amount of non-Wisconsin-based workers to a handful at most, because that, you know, it would be interesting to see if there's eventually a lawsuit by Foxconn saying they just, you know, we're routing our payrolls through here. They said we could do it. Where's our bonus money? And it would be interesting to see what ends up happening there.
Yeah. It'll be, you know, as they really build up their staff and the jobs agency here starts verifying payroll, I think we'll get more of those, more questions and also more answers to the questions.
One final thing here. You'd mentioned that they missed the 260 mark, which was their first hurdle they had to cross here. Do you know off the top of your head what's the next hurdle? How many jobs do they have to get the next set of incentives?
They have to create 520 jobs this year to receive the incentives. And that's just the baseline. They actually need to create, I think, maybe double that to receive the full amount they're eligible for every year. So I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, in 2018 they had to create 260 to get anything, but I think they had to create 1,000 to get the full 10 million, and they didn't hit the 260. So then that could be why Governor Evers is saying, I don't think the 13,000 is a realistic goal.
Do you have any idea where they're at with the 560 or 520 this year?
I don't. Yeah. And I don't believe we'll know that, because the jobs agency will have to verify everything and report back. So it's kind of on a delay. So we won't know.
This is a fun story to follow. I will say this. I mean, this is getting deep.
Fun?
Well, not for you.
It's
confusing. Well, it's not for you, but here's one thing I will say about this story is that it's thick, it's deep. There's a lot of different angles to it. And as if I can be honest with you, I just, as I watch this, I can see the cab coming down the street with his doors wide open. I already know how this is going to end, and it's not going to be pretty. And I think the real tragedy is going to be the blame game afterwards on what happened here. But, I mean, it will be great if it does happen. I think you and I pointed out the first time we talked about this, the incredible pie-in-the-sky mentality you have for everything to come out as Scott Walker wanted it to. But at the same time, the fact that I think Evers is onto something, the fact that they can't hit the minimal hiring numbers at this point is a really bad omen.
I think, you know, they are building, they've purchased a number of buildings across the state, and they are building, you know, a big facility down in southeastern Wisconsin. It's not, I want to be clear that it's not like nothing's happening here. But if Governor Evers is looking to renegotiate, I believe that's a sign that he believes it's not doomed. It's just something that he wants to change in order to make it successful. At least that's what he has said and others have said.
Skip the Trump rally. Come to Minneapolis. I will take you. I'll get you the big popcorn and soda, and we'll go see Endgame.
I can't. I've already got my credentials. I gotta go.
You be careful with that. Have fun there if you can. Molly Beck, once again, I'll make a link to everything. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is where you'll find her great work. Molly, I appreciate the time today.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.